Scripture tonight is taken from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
I can't tell you how proud I am of our young people. They're just doing a great job in learning and learning and learning. And that's a good thing. In our last lesson, from the next to last thing on the green card, from 1 Peter 3, a good marriage. And in that lesson, we discussed these things. The wives are to be submissive to their husbands because God said so. That husbands are to love and to give honor to their wives. And wives are to be loving to their husbands. But circling all of this is this fact, that we are expected as men and women to love God with all that we have. And if the husband loves God as he should, and the wife loves God as she should, then the husband and the wife shouldn't have a lot of trouble loving each other the way they should. And that makes for a good marriage. Tonight we're going to talk about heaven. That's the very end of the green card, Revelation 21, heaven. Actually, Revelation 21 and 22 both have a good bit about heaven. We'll touch on some of both of those. But I want us to begin with this thought. Just what is heaven? If I could ask you that question and you would formulate an answer, everybody's wouldn't be exactly the same unless they were just talking about that place where God's people are going to go when they die at the end of time. But we know that heaven is the place where God is. Now I know that we teach that He's omnipresent, which means He's everywhere. And that's a difficult concept for us to wrap our brains around because we think of things in a finite way, not an infinite way. But where God is, His dwelling place is heaven. We know that because verse 2, it tells us that John saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, from God. Coming down from God, from heaven, out of heaven. In Matthew 5:16, when Jesus was teaching those disciples how to pray in the Sermon on the Mount, Our Father, which art in heaven. That's the way that we address Him, because that's where He is, in heaven. That's the place of the Father. Matthew chapter 6, I got those passages confused. Matthew chapter 6 is from the model prayer, but Matthew chapter 5 is a command that we have. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, all of those point out one thing, that God is in heaven. That's His place, His location. Matthew 10:32, when Jesus was talking about the need for us to confess Him before men, He said, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. So we have plenty of scriptures that point to us that heaven is the place of God. We also know that it's a prepared place. Two passages come to my mind. The first one is from John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go and prepare a place for you. Jesus is going to heaven. He went to heaven. But He told them in John 14 in the upper room that He was going to go there and prepare a place for them. But overall, heaven has been prepared for a long time. For Matthew 25:34, and in that text where it talks about that day of separation when the sheep will be separated from the goats, that the sheep were told to come in and inherit that place that was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, that would be heaven. And so it's a prepared place. So the big question, I think, is this: what will heaven be like? We all have things that we've read in the Bible, or we've heard preachers say, or studied in a class. And so we have some images in our head, but I don't believe we really truly have a great picture of heaven, of how good it's going to be. 1 Corinthians 2:9, when Paul wrote this, it seems to me that heaven must be indescribable. He says, "For it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Heaven is that prepared place. And we just can only kind of imagine what it's going to be like to be there. But the Bible does give us a few thoughts that we can consider. At the end of our text for tonight, it said God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And then he said that all those other things that are associated in a negative way, sorrow, pain, sickness, and death, those things are going to pass away. They're not going to be that in heaven. There's going to be life, everlasting life. And I thought about this towards the end of Revelation 21. It says there won't be a need to have the sun and the moon. If you go all the way back to Genesis 1 in the creation of the universe, that he created the sun to be a light for the day and the moon to be the light for the night. But we're not going to need those lights. And by the way, we only get the sun in the daytime, the bright light, because we sleep at night, or we're supposed to sleep at night. And that's why the moon's out. It doesn't give, you know, a bright shining light, just a little bit of moonlight, which is a reflection of the sun. But guess what? In heaven, there's not going to be any getting tired and going to sleep. This afternoon, after lunch, Pana took a good nap. And I have no problem with her taking naps, especially with what she's been going through. But that's because our bodies, as we grow older and we do things, we get tired. And sometimes we have to sleep. We sleep at night and we take naps during the day when we can. But in heaven, there's not going to be a time we need to nap, because we're not going to have a flesh and blood body that's going to get tired. We're not going to have that flesh and blood body that's going to get weary and old and break down. We're going to be life everlasting, because there's going to be no night there. That's just hard to picture, isn't it? Hard to picture that there's no night. No night. I know if you live up in the upper northern regions of that there's 6 months of daytime and 6 months of evening time, or whatever it is, because it's because of where they're located. But for most of us that live, you know, in the moderate to even the equator places on the earth, we have day and night all the time. But there's going to be no night in heaven. Then you turn the page and go to Revelation 21. About the first thing that pops up is that river of water of life. And that makes me think about Jesus and the woman at the well in John chapter 4. When Jesus told her that if she knew who was talking to her, she would ask of him and he would give her living water. Where do you think that living water, that's a picture of this right here, the river of water of life flowing through the streets of heaven. And on top of that, then there's the tree of life. You know, and we only know about the tree of life all the way back in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, when they were told, Adam and Eve, they can eat off any tree in the garden except that one, that's the tree of life, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when they ate off of that, that God took away their access to the tree of life, that they might live forever. But if we do what God wants us to do as we live our lives, and we have then the privilege to get to go to heaven, the tree of life will be there. So the question then that follows that is, this is such a wonderful place. How do I get there? I think most of us know the answer to that, but we'll cover it kind of briefly. It's back in John chapter 14, when Jesus was telling them He was going to prepare that place for them, He also told them that where He was going they knew, and the way they knew. But then Thomas said, "We don't know the way. We don't know where You're going, and we don't know the way." And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by Me." There's only one way to get to that place called heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven. And many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works?" And Jesus said, "Depart from Me. I never knew you. You're workers of iniquity." Only those who do the will of God will get to be in heaven. So I want to end with this thought. We need to do what God said because God said do it. Did you ever think about it that way? We don't do what we do because we think it's the best thing to do. We don't need to do what we're supposed to do because man tells us that's what we're supposed to do, because we and other men, we can be wrong. But if we do what God says because God said do it, that means that we're willing to be submissive to Him because we understand who He is, that He's our Creator, and that His Son is our Savior, and that if we want to benefit from that love and grace and mercy that He's offered to us, we have to be willing to do what He says. Unfortunately, everybody's not going to make it to heaven. It's not my call, but it's God's. It's offered to everybody. John chapter 3, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." There's the offer to everybody. Even the bad people in Romans chapter 5, that it says, "He commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We don't deserve to go to heaven, but we get to go if we do what God said. But we know that most people aren't going because Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." See, many versus few, that's most versus some. Most are not going to heaven, but it's not God's choice that they don't make it to heaven. But they do. It's going to be that way because they choose not to do what God said, because God said do it. We know some of the things that we've been told that we have to do in order that we can receive those blessings from Him and go to heaven someday. Hebrews 11:6, we have to believe that God is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's something we must do, as we talked about this morning. Unless we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He died on the cross for our sins, we're condemned already because we haven't believed on Him. And then Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you'll perish," Luke 13:3-5. Jesus also said that, "Whosoever confesses Me before man, I'll confess before the Father. But whoever denies Me before man, I'll deny before the Father." And as He said in the text we brought up a while ago, if we're not going through Him, we're not getting to God. We can't circumvent Jesus. It's all through Him. And Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." We know what it takes in order to have our sins washed away. That's to be obedient to the gospel, to the things that God has told us to do. And it doesn't matter if we don't understand some of those things as far as why He would pick that way for us. Only thing that matters is He said to do it. And so we should do it. And then He expects us to be faithful all the days of our life till we die or He comes back. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God because you've never obeyed the gospel, or you're not a faithful child of God because there's sin that's separating you from God, won't you come forward right now and take advantage of this opportunity to get right with God as we stand and sing our song of encouragement.